Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Strange and Unusual by Martha Carr and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Devon Sorvery. Chapter 1. It was time to do the impossible. Lazar Verdes felt it coursing through him, the rightness of the moment, the tug pulling at his core to rise to the call and put into motion everything the soothsayer had predicted. For 200 years he'd waited for this night. Lights out in 5. The night guard strolled down the walkway of cell block Alpha, his boots clicking on the metal mesh. Lazar's neighbor, Relaud, let out a low whistle.
Not gonna give us a pass for the new year, huh?
The guard's rhythmic footsteps stopped at the cell on Lazar's right, and the metallic ping of the man's cattle prod for magicals echoed through the block, a light tap, tap, tap against the bars.
You don't get a pass for another 50 years, Relaud.
49.
The weapon cracked against the cell bars, emitting a sizzling flash of purple sparks when it struck the cell's magic-dampening wards.
We can double that if you want, or you can keep your fat orc mouth shut.
Relaud let out a low, rumbling chuckle, but didn't say another word. Lazar Verdes stretched out on the thin mattress of his single bunk, slate-gray arms folded behind his head of white hair, as the guard picked up his slow, rhythmic march down the cells lining Alpha Block. It sounded like Richardson, and sure enough, there was Richardson's bulbous nose lit up in perfect profile as the man passed Lazar's cell. The guard didn't pause as he swept his gaze over the drow prisoner's tidy box of a room. He just lifted one eyebrow in contempt, then continued down the row.
It's the last thing these idiots expect. Lazar Verdes doesn't make a sound, and it's almost like he doesn't even exist. They'll notice when I'm gone, all right. And by the time they find out which direction I went, I'll already have everything in motion.
If the gateway between the borders of this world and the other couldn't stop Lazar from crossing over a dozen times as he sought to fulfill the soothsayer's prophecy, minor dampening wards and humans with low-tech tasers and fell darts didn't stand a chance.
Let them think I've got my head down for the rest of it.
Lazar sniffed, shifted his head against his folded arms so his pointed ears could breathe a little, and crossed one booted foot over the other.
Tonight, I'm getting out.
Richardson's echoing footsteps receded down the block. Silence settled over Alpha until the guard in the tower pulled a lever that looked like a breaker reset more than the light switch on a max security prison.
Happy New Year, convicts! Way to break in the 21st century!
The lights cracked off with an echoing boom. Darkness blanketed Alpha Block, punctured only by the red lights flaring to life above the guard tower.
Red for locked up tight. What a stupid human misconception.
The block echoed with the coughs, grunts, snores, and farts of Chateau Drawl's inmates as a stillness settled over them for the night. In their single suites of concrete and metal frames and high-voltage dampening wards. Lazar waited patiently through all of it until the symphony of bodily functions came to a standstill. Then he pushed up on his bed, glanced through the bars of his cell door at that dauntless red light, and stood.
Hey, Verdes, Relaud gurgled from the next cell over. Staying up to watch the ball drop?
Lazar moved toward the steel toilet at the back of his cell.
Man, Relaud kept on, what I wouldn't give for some end-of-the-year grog and a battle pit might be what I miss most about home.
The orc's voice brought its usual muffled thickness through his sawed-off tusks, the ends of which protruded at broken angles from his thick lower jaw. Lazar saw those tusks in his mind's eye every time his neighbor spoke.
Hell, I'd even fight you.
Lazar snorted.
You'd lose.
The drow worked around his prison-issue sweatpants to relieve himself.
Just another inmate hitting the john before hitting the sack.
The whole time, he was counting down to the perfect moment. Rilaud snorted.
You don't think I could kick your drow ass back to Umbar Ogul?
Not if we were already in the Ogul battle pit, greenskin.
Another low chuckle came from the next cell over.
That how you got popped and dragged into this hellhole? Tried to mind-fuck the CDO into letting you off clean by arguing semantics?
You know what semantics means?
Lazar flushed the steel toilet and took two steps away from it along the back wall of his cell. A thump rattled the cement wall, doubtless from Rilaud's thick fist.
Hey, if you were as smart as you think you are, you wouldn't be locked up next to me, would you?
Watch me, Lazar whispered.
An irritated growl permeated the opposite wall of the orc's cell.
Shut the hell up, Rilaud. Trying to sleep. Aw, come on. You don't want to count down to midnight with me, Traj? Listen, if you don't shut your fat green face, when these doors open in the morning, I'll count down to your last breath.
Rilaud chuckled, and the cot beneath the massive orc groaned when he flopped back onto the thin mattress.
Y2K. Gotta give it to these human chumps, am I right? Making such a big deal about the end of the world and all, they don't even know the half of it.
That might have been the only thing out of Rilaud's mouth in weeks, Lazar thought incisive, yet saying so to the orc was only an invitation for more attention. Rilaud scratched his hairy green armpit, a blade scraping a whetstone.
Dumb and tiny and weak, he groused.
Shut up,
came Traj's exasperated voice.
I swear by all that's unholy.
Positioned less than a foot from the back wall of his cell, Lazar waited for his pesky orc neighbor's laughter to fade. Alpha Block settled into another round of half-enforced silence, and the drow closed his eyes to listen for his next signal. The door to the guard tower clicked open and shut behind whichever one of them had drawn straws to re-up on their coffee for the night shift. Lazar's pointed ears twitched at the muffled thump of the other guard's boots propping up on the console. That was Jones, then, settling in for a night of reading whatever cheap book he'd grabbed off the library cart. And Lazar stayed beside his toilet, facing the wall like he'd lost his mind. The drow's fingers worked an intricate pattern in front of his thigh, undetectable by the swiveling cameras set high on Alpha Block's walls. The air shimmered around him, and his illusion spell formed at the back of the cell. Any guard who checked the cameras or stepped past while on patrol would see the drow's back as he stood beside the toilet. The real Lazar would be long gone before anyone realized his projected image hadn't moved in hours. He placed his other hand on the concrete wall and muttered the words he'd been waiting 25 years in this dump to say. Just a whisper, but the spell phased his hand through the wall, and the rest of him followed. No alarms, no flashing lights, nothing. Lazar had discovered Chateau Drawl's budget could not pay for wards on all four walls of every cell.
Rilaud was right, dumb and puny and weak.
Lazar glanced both ways down the abandoned corridor stretching behind Alpha Block's newer cells. No one was there. Not a single guard knew the original bones of this place. Smirking, Lazar closed his eyes and brought up the memory of the prison's layout. Almost 50 years ago, he had known he'd be making his way through these walls from the inside out instead of the other way around, before the renovations. He set off for the sealed staircase. Mundane construction, yet it could stop him as well as any warded wall, not to mention the 10-foot box he'd called home for a quarter century. For a drow thief, impossible didn't exist. Not tonight. 15 minutes later, Lazar crouched beneath the grove of bare cherry trees beyond the fence around Chateau Drawl. Barbed wire. He snorted and shook his head. Humans have so much to learn. His fingers moved in twisting gestures, and a tailored pinstriped suit took the place of his gray prison pants and white t-shirt. The long white hair pulled in a knot behind his neck, shortened and darkened, followed by the erasure of the dark gray, nearly purple pigment of his race's skin. He flexed much shorter fingers on pink-hued hands, his flesh now bright beneath the moonlight. No one would see the pointed ears of his race beneath the light brown curls he'd adopted. Destiny tugged at him like a hook through his chest. Beneath the bright light spilling over so much stone and concrete and iron, while dressed as a businessman in a trim suit from the 1920s, Lazar turned from Chateau Drawl and followed the tingling trail of magic he could no longer ignore. Where is she? By human standards, the night was chilly, yet the drow thought nothing of the cold. He moved down the frontage road, away from Chateau Drawl, and toward the heart of Washington, D.C. Even if he'd driven, it wouldn't have taken him as quickly as his own 2 feet through the industrial district hiding the high-security magical prison. He was a blur in the moonlight as he crossed the river into Capitol Hill and encountered the overwhelming New Year's glimmer of lights and traffic and bars. He hurried along the sidewalk and fought to keep his eyes open as he followed the trail of magic. Not her magic, no. Mine, and the magic of our... Lazar wouldn't let himself finish the thought. He had to find the woman first. Whoever she was, putting the magical card in front of the flying horse wouldn't do him any favors. Once he made it to 16th Street, the busy street echoed with the undertones of live bands blasting from every bar, of laughter rising from open car windows and restaurant doors. A bellhop in a bright red suit with gold buttons nodded at Lazar as the 1920s businessman stepped in front of the hotel entrance. The man pushed a luggage trolley across the sidewalk toward a car waiting at the curb. Lazar froze. A tingling feeling yanked him sideways. Slowly, he peered at the hotel's entrance and noticed the illuminated silver and white St. Regis Hotel signs marquee. Below it, a half-dozen silver balloons buffeted about in the stiff breeze blowing down 16th Street. I've seen those balloons before. This is it. Lazar made his way through the revolving doors and stopped himself from phasing through the glass partitions. DC's most elegant socialites filled the lobby and beyond. They had come to welcome Y2K with a bang. The thought made the drow smirk as he scanned dozens of faces. The soothsayer hadn't given him a name, or an image, or even a specific year. However, tonight felt different from all the other nights. Tonight, the call blazed like a siren. The right place, at the right time. Now I need the right... A group of females in short, glittering dresses and beaded headbands passed by as they headed toward the event room off the bar. One woman offered him a coy smile, which the drow politely returned. No, not her. Still. The magic of prophecy in his veins pulled him after the women. Lazar waited as they made superficial conversation with two men standing just inside the ballroom doors. He waited until they entered the room, then went to follow. A man in a tuxedo stepped in front of him and cleared his throat. Your invitation, sir. The drow reached into the manufactured inside pocket of his jacket and whipped out a blank piece of cardstock. Without looking at the concierge, he snapped the fingers of his other hand, and his illusion spell did the rest. After seeing whatever it was he wanted to see on the fake invitation, the man handed it back. "Enjoy your evening, sir." Lazar snatched the card and made a show of tossing it into a silver trash can by the doors. The fake invitation disappeared in a swirl of thin white smoke, and the drow moved into the ballroom like a panther on the hunt. A four-string quartet played in the far corner, accompanying a man in a suit very much like Lazar's and singing a Louis Armstrong song. Silver tinsel hung from every surface, silver ornaments dangling from the ceiling. A massive banquet table lined the wall on his left, laden with caviar and finger sandwiches, cocktail shrimp, beef tartare, artisan cheese. After a quarter century of gruel that didn't begin to meet state prison regulations, Chateau Drawl wasn't state regulated, of course, it took every bit of his will not to go to the table, shove people out of the way, and fill multiple plates. A golden light caught his eye as it shimmered at the other end of the ballroom. The drow's body tingled from the pull buzzing through his veins. "Where are you?" he whispered, scanning the faces. "Show yourself." "Champagne?" A woman in a short cocktail dress passed in front of him with a tray of full, bubbling champagne flutes. "Thank you." Lazar didn't look at her as he pulled a glass off the tray by its delicate stem and headed across the ballroom. Drinking was the last thing on his mind. This thread tying him to a woman he hadn't met yet was making him drunk enough. "The elections turned out very much the way we expected.
Would be nice not to talk shop for one night, Senator, don't you think?
When the Democratic whip knocks on your door and asks for a favor."
Lazar moved through the crowd, weaving between milling bodies and searching for that golden glow again. Part of him wanted to shed the illusion and gain the extra foot his drow form would have afforded, but this wasn't the place. Most people this side of the border didn't know what a drow was. Two men in suits and lit cigars, one of them pointing to his monocle and chuckling, passed in front of the drow thief. Lazar huffed out a breath and flicked his finger. The monocle leapt from the man's eye and clattered to the ground. The man bent to retrieve it, and Lazar slipped through the opening in the crowd. With small, short bursts of magic, he moved the partygoers out of his way. A woman's beaded necklace pulling her sideways before snapping and spilling beads all over the marble floors, a stiff-backed caterer tripping over his own shoe, two cabinet members, judging by their snippets of conversation, both feeling a tug on the back of their suit jackets before turning around.
"Out of my way," Lazar muttered.
"I'm sorry?" A long-legged redhead in a dress of copper-colored fringe turned and flashed him a surprised smile.
"I said, hell of a day, huh?"
The drow met her gaze, hoping he'd found her. "And the day will be over in half an hour." She grinned. "I don't think we've met. I'm..." The pull reignited in Lazar's chest, and he lurched away from the woman to follow it.
"That's not her. Excuse me."
When he reached the other side of the ballroom, he searched the same place he'd seen a flash of golden light. He stopped, clenched his jaws, and turned to study the New Year's Eve party from a different angle. Still, he recognized no one. The woman he'd been trying to meet for centuries was nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be found. A soft grunt conveyed Lazar's disappointment. Then he lifted the champagne flute to his mouth and shook his head, hoping for destiny to tug again like a fishhook pulling through his cheek.
"If that soothsayer's been playing me all this time..."
"You can't believe everything you hear these days, can you?" The woman's voice drew closer behind him, followed by a soft, subdued ring of laughter. "And if I were to have that conversation, Mr. Matthews, I'd like to see it written into my calendar first." A small weight bumped Lazar's back, and he tilted forward to keep his champagne from spilling. "Oh, I am so sorry." He turned, the pull buzzing in his chest. She laughed again, I didn't see you there. Lazar Verdes stared at the woman patting the back of her neck, dark curls piled atop her head. She wore a simple black cocktail dress and functional pumps, a string of pearls, and matching earrings. Her blue eyes shone up at him above her hesitant, apologetic smile.
I found her.
You didn't. I didn't spill your drink, did I? The drow blinked and raised the champagne flute toward her in an unsipped toast.
Not a drop.
Oh, good. Her eyelashes fluttered, and a small flush of color rose to her cheeks. Have we met before?
Only in a future foretold.
Lazar smiled.
I would remember if we did. My name's... All right, Ms. Summerlin.
A man wearing a ridiculous top hat interrupted them and dipped his head at the woman.
I'll have my secretary call your office and set something up. You look a little busy.
He winked and turned away without acknowledging Lazar's presence.
I look a little.
She blinked and gave a startled giggle.
It's a party, and I'm
sorry. When she looked up at Lazar again, her blush deepened. You were about to tell me your name.
Leon Verdes.
Lazar offered his free hand, and he would have tossed the champagne flute behind him if that wasn't sure to make them both the center of attention.
That's the last thing we need.
Leon, you know, I'm very good with names, but I don't remember yours, and you still seem so... The woman licked her lips and shook her head, trying to clear it of the most robust sense of déjà vu she'd ever had. Bianca Summerlin, Mr. Verdes. It's a pleasure to meet you. The minute she slid her hand into his, the world might as well have stopped turning. A jolt of centuries-old certainty coursed through Lazar's entire being, and Bianca Summerlin gasped.
Did you?
She stared at their clasped hands, then cleared her throat.
Did you feel that?
Feels like the end of the world.
He didn't let go.
I'm sorry?
Y2K and all that, right?
The drow smiled with a human face that was not his, then gently released her hand.
Something like that.
She turned her head and studied him sidelong, then glanced at the champagne in his hand.
You're not drinking.
I was about to. Then you found me.
Bianca licked her lips, eyed him up and down, then lifted a hand toward the server coming by with another tray of champagne flutes.
I'll join you.
I was hoping you would.
Bianca went to step toward the server. Before she could do so, Lazar reached out and deftly plucked a champagne flute from the tray as the server walked past. The man strode on, oblivious to the bubbly's weight having left his tray. Bianca laughed when he handed her the drink.
Smooth.
He lifted his flute and toasted her.
To new beginnings.
And hopefully not the end of the world. They clinked glasses, and before she raised hers to her lips, Lazar took a brazen step toward her.
You know, I'd almost given up hope tonight.
Oh? Though she stared up at him without looking away, her breath hitched in her throat.
Hope for what?
That I'd find the perfect person to bring in the new year with.
Bianca laughed and lifted her champagne flute higher. That's an excellent pickup line.
Only if it's working.
Lazar took his first sip without breaking her gaze. Beneath his illusion spell, he was still a good 6 inches taller than her. She peered up at him over the rim of her glass. Another breathless laugh escaped her.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, Mr. Verdes.
Leon, please.
Leon, it might be working. Your line, that is, but don't let it go to your head.
I would never.
And I've had too much to drink.
Grinning, caught in the web of destiny ensnaring them, Bianca sipped her champagne. She nearly spilled it down the front of her dress when the mic squealed and the ballroom announcer's voice cut through the end of the song. Dear friends, honored guests, and gracious benefactors, we are nearing the last minute of the century. A screen lit up over the doorway to the ballroom. Please join us in counting down to the new year and the beginning of a new millennium. A cheer went up around the room, followed by laughter and a round of freshly poured champagne making its way through the crowd. Lazar bent toward Bianca's ear and muttered,
"You look nervous."
"Oh, I do, do I?" She offered a polite laugh, but the returning blush gave her away. She didn't lean away from his lips, which were nearly brushing her ear.
"I promise you don't need to be nervous. Not tonight."
She looked at him and blinked.
"And what?" 10, 9, 8.
When Lazar winked, she looked away, only to down the entire glass of champagne in 2 gulps.
6, 5.
"A night like this only happens once in a
century." Bianca's smile returned, fueled by the same unquestionable pull that had brought the drow thief from the confines of Chateau Drawl all the way to the St. Regis. "That's hardly an excuse to throw all caution to the wind, Mr. Leon." Lazar leaned closer.
"But you are."
3, 2.
She was trapped in his gaze.
"I..." 1. Happy New Year!
Amid the tinkle of cutlery chiming against crystal glass stems, the cheers and hoots, the laughter and uncorking of 12 more champagne bottles, Lazar placed a hand on the small of Bianca Summerlin's back and bent to press his lips against hers. What little willpower she'd held onto after 3 hours of drinking with Washington's political elite evaporated. The empty champagne flute slipped from her fingers and broke on the marble floor. No one noticed. For that matter, no one saw the tall man in the pinstriped suit and the blushing research economist either, as they made their way somewhere far more private. Chapter 2. Lazar glanced at the clock on the bedside table, 3:27 a.m. Beside him in the king-sized bed with 1,000 thread-count sheets, Bianca Summerlin lay motionless in sleep, her dark curls spilling in a tangled array on her pillow. The drow brushed a lock of hair away from her cheek, the sight of his human-colored skin against hers bringing him a momentary twinge of discomfort. She sighed in her sleep, and he leaned and pressed a soft kiss against the corner of her mouth.
"I found you for a reason, Bianca," he whispered. "I hope you remember that. And I'm sorry for how long you'll have to wait before you discover what that reason is. I'll be waiting, too."
The corner of her mouth upturned in a dream-induced smile. The drow thief caressed her curls one final time, then slid from beneath the sheets and dressed. He was quick and silent, still full of energy despite having lain awake beside her for an hour until she drifted off into a heavy sleep. He stopped at the minibar and mouthed a summons under his breath. A pale, shimmering light flared at his fingertips. When it faded, a copper-coated puzzle box covered in drow runes rested snugly in his palm. He placed it with an uncharacteristic tenderness beside Bianca's small black purse atop the minibar. He tapped the top of the box, and a wave of light spread from his fingertip around the trinket, then faded. He nodded.
"When it's time, you'll know what to do with this. Both of you will know."
With a parting glance at the beginning of his destiny lying in the hotel suite, Lazar placed a hand on the door and closed his eyes. Magically peeping through it, he spied no one about in the hallway, which was just as well. He muttered another spell and phased through the door, opting not to risk waking her by leaving the traditional way. Outside the suite, Lazar straightened.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?